So, it's Christmas, 1975. I run downstairs, I'm dead excited, and there in front of me, a complete surprise. A real prize. It was a Panasonic record player. Combo with a tape and a radio. I was astounded. I was 11 and all I wanted was my own record player. Wasn't really for me though, unfortunately, because I was never allowed to take it upstairs to my bedroom. But it was my record player. So my mum and dad, both working class people, had very eclectic tastes in music. And I think that you do get, you know, your first sort of listens to music through your parents, or if you're lucky and you've got older brothers and sisters, they can influence you as well. Like, I think my music tastes probably influenced my younger brother and sister. So my dad, he liked to listen to Cossack choirs. Bear in mind, we live in Wales. You'd think he'd listen to nothing but Welsh choirs and country and western. We did listen to a bit of country and western because he was a big Marty Robbins fan. But my dad's favourite singer was Paul Robeson, that famous African-American guy from, I mean, died years ago, but he was really famous. Google him. So my mum, my mum liked whatever was in the charts at that moment. People of my age will possibly remember a song called Eviva España that came out one summer when everyone could afford to go on holiday to Spain. And my mum thrashed it. I can still hear it in my head now. I hate that song. So, 1975, I have a record player for the first time. And with it came my very first album. Now in 1975, my mum had quite a bit of choice. She could have bought me Patti Smith's Horses. She could have bought me my beloved Joni Mitchell's The Hissing of Summer Lawns. Bob Dylan, who I don't really like, Blood on the Tracks, classic album. Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti. She could have bought me One Size Fits All by Frank Zappa. Probably a good job that she didn't, though. At 11, I think I was a bit young for it. She could have bought me Kiss's Dress to Kill. Hey! She could have bought me Sabotage by Black Sabbath. I would have loved that. She could have bought me Young Americans. Yeah, there's going to be singing in this one because I sing Young Americans. But she didn't. No. She bought me, and to this day, I don't know why, but she bought me Simon and Garfunkel's Bridge Over Troubled Water, which was released a good 5 years before. It must have been in a sale, but I'm not complaining, because although Bridge Over Troubled Water was my first album, it's remained with me and is still one of my all-time favourite albums. Now, when Dave asked me to do my own little recording, I love music. I love films as well, but there's just so much music that I like. I was a bit overwhelmed. I couldn't pinpoint which album I wanted to talk about. So I thought, well, there's only one thing I can do, and that's start at the beginning, my beginning, with my first album. So, don't know if you've seen the picture that Dave may or may not have tweeted me with my LP of Bridge Over Troubled Water. Unfortunately, it's not the original one that I had when I was 11, because I did have it up until I was about 21, and my ex-husband, when I went to live in America, decided to have a bonfire and he burnt all my possessions, including all my albums. Anyway, you know the saying, all killer, no filler? There's a lot of albums like that. The first one that comes to mind, all killer, no filler for me, is Peter Gabriel's So. Another one is Fleetwood Mac's... I've completely forgotten what it's called. You know, the one with the balls. Do you know what? It's really difficult to sit in a room by yourself and talk to a microphone. Anyway, I digress. So, for me, Bridge Over Troubled Water isn't all killer and no filler. I think there are a couple of songs that are filler on it, and ones that I probably won't talk about at length, because I don't really know why they're on the album, because they don't sort of go with the other songs. But the album itself was recorded in 1970, and I haven't Googled it. I don't really know anything about it. I watched a documentary on, I think it was over here in the UK, BBC Three, about the making of Bridge Over Troubled Water. And I think it was on about 2 years ago. So the stuff that I know about this album really is stuff that I can remember from that programme. But also, I think it's really because I've known it and grown up with it. They're my own ideas about it, really, what the songs mean to me. So side one is Bridge Over Troubled Waters. Now, this is probably one song that practically everybody, I'm sure that everyone who's listening to this has heard Bridge Over Troubled Waters. It's a hymn, really. This is, again, my opinion. It's quite, well, it's almost religious. I can listen to it and it can actually bring me to tears, which sounds a bit soppy, but I think the mixture of the words of the song, the lyrics of the song, and Art Garfunkel's singing and the huge orchestration and the way it builds up, and up it starts very, very quietly and very gently, and then goes into the chorus and gets a little bit louder with a bit more orchestration in it. And then when it gets to sort of two thirds of the way through, Paul Simon joins in the chorus with Art Garfunkel. And it's the most incredible harmonisation. That's one thing about Simon and Garfunkel. Paul Simon's got a very sweet voice, and Art Garfunkel, I always used to think that he had quite a weak voice. Until I heard him sing I Only Have Eyes For You. Originally, this song was written by Paul Simon on a guitar, and I seem to recall that it was going to be him and Art Garfunkel that sang it together. But when he heard Garfunkel sing it, he said, no, it was, I wrote the song, but I think that you should sing this. And to make it more anthemic, get rid of the guitar, and we'll have a piano. So I think towards the end of the song, there's definitely a Hammond organ in there somewhere. But it, the way it builds up to a crescendo, and again, the lyrics are so, they're quite profound, really. I'm sure a lot of you who you know, Simon and Garfunkel are like Marmite. You either love them or you hate them. And a lot of you might think, oh my God, this is such a sloppy song. And it is a sloppy song. But lyrics like, you know, I'll take your part when darkness comes and pain is all around, like a bridge over troubled waters, I will lay me down. I think that's beautiful, and I've listened to this album quite a few times as I've been painting, and listened to it on my record player as well. I love listening to records. I love all the little noises, which I'm sure a lot of you under the age of 25 won't know what I'm talking about. But listening to it, just, I don't know what it is about it, just means so much to me. And I think it's because the first time I heard it, again, going back to Christmas Day when I was 11, 1975, it was the first time I ever heard that song. I didn't know Simon and Garfunkel was I liked David Cassidy and the Jackson 5 and Gary Glitter, but don't tell anybody I said that. Even the Rubettes. I wasn't aware of proper, in inverted commas, bands like Simon and Garfunkel. So hearing that song for the first time was incredible. Really, my first experience of an epic song that even ends with a ta-da. And it does, if you listen to it, it's sort of, I could sing it for you if you like. I'm not going to, don't worry. It does build up and up and up till it almost explodes at the end. One thing I do remember as a kid in school now, sort of like 15 or 16, listening to it, and one of my friends said to me, "This is about drugs." And I can remember her name was Jill, saying, "What do you mean it's about drugs?" "Yeah, it's about drugs. Ceylon, Silver Girl, that bit. That means he's a heroin addict." And I never really got that, but why Silver Girl? But I can remember reading ages ago that a lot of people thought that that song related to drugs. And in fact, it doesn't. Paul Simon was writing about his ex-wife had got grey hairs and he called her Silver Girl. That ex-wife wasn't Carrie Fisher, though. It was his first wife. I think her name was Peggy. So that's an amazing beginning to a really good album. How do you beat A Bridge Over Troubled Water? Well, you can't really. Well, or can you? Maybe there is, for me, two more songs on this album that I actually like better than Bridge Over Troubled Water. The next song isn't one of them. I do like it, though. It's called El Condo Pasa. I don't know how you really pronounce it, because it's a take of a Peruvian folk song. It's a real ancient Peruvian folk song that Paul Simon heard somewhere on the studio, asked the person who was playing it if he could use it, and he did. This, again, was another revelation for me, because I had never heard a song like that before either. It just sounded really weird, because it had got like these pipey songs in it, sounds in it. And I suppose, you know, as you become more experienced and, you know, more familiar with different types of music apart from the Rubettes, I think Paul Simon, for me anyway, probably in the Western world was possibly the first person to introduce world music in a commercial way. So he got there before Peter Gabriel, and then Paul Simon, of course, has continued it with Graceland, which is it 20 or 30 years old now, Graceland? That's another great album. This is a really sort of almost like a lullaby sort of song, and one thing I really like about it is Paul Simon's phrasing on it, because the lyrics just make hardly any sense at all, you know. And I always like the way he sings na 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 street that rhymes with feet. Don't know why, I just really like that. So the next song is Cecilia. Now, those of us who are Catholic know that Saint Cecilia, God bless her, was the patron saint for us Catholics of music. So I don't know whether or not that was in Paul Simon's head when he wrote it. But this is a very up-tempo song with a lot of clapping in it, has a bit of an irregular beat. And again, Simon and Garfunkel harmonise on it. Simon takes the lead vocals. Simon takes mostly the lead vocals. And this is quite a shocking song as well, because I could be wrong, but one of the lyrics is making love in the afternoon to Cecilia up in my bedroom. I'm singing again. That's the first time I'd ever heard anybody mention Rudy stuff in a song. But again, bear in mind, you know, I was really young and my mum and dad didn't really listen to sort of rock music either. So that was quite, oh, is this a bit rude that he's upstairs having a bit of a shag and then he washes his face afterwards? It's the wrong end, isn't it? Shouldn't he be washing something else? But I don't know. Paul Simon obviously got a bit of a dirty cock. Perhaps not. But this is very up-tempo and it's still got its roots in folk music. And you're probably sick of me talking now, but it's still really not time for my first pick because the next song is Keep the Customer Satisfied. This is a real throwback to rock and roll. When you listen to it, it's got that chunka 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 beat to it. The chord changes are very three bars rock and roll. From what I gathered, Simon and Garfunkel were a pure folk duo, both from sort of New York, did all the bars and clubs, you know, before they made it. So their influences probably would have been, well, they would have been rock and roll, maybe Elvis, Jerry Lewis, Bill Haley, all that sort of thing. So that comes through really strongly in that song. It's got a massive crescendo again. This is an album of huge endings. The songs, it's kind of funny really, because as I listen to it, have you ever seen the Beatles in the early 60s when they play the Royal Variety Performance? It's a really, really famous bit of film. And they go, she loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they go, dung, the end of the song, and they all stand up straight and bow and then they start the next song. This album reminds me of that in a little way because each song it goes the end. And this song, Keep the Customer Satisfied, does that as well. It's got a huge horn section at the end which sounds brilliant and a Hammond organ, and the lyrics are, they're quite, sort of the language in them is quite antiquated. I've noticed that quite a lot of the lyrics on this album sort of, you know, like what one of the lines in this particular song is, I've been slandered, libeled, I hear words I never heard in the Bible. I sort of, again, apologies to anybody who lives in the southern states of America, I can sort of imagine them saying stuff like that, you know. I ain't never heard that in the Bible. That was my best Brummy accent. Yeah, but one thing about this song is that it really reminds me of the film Paper Moon. Do you listen to the lyrics of it? I just always see Ryan O'Neill and think about his character in Paper Moon. It's almost like a mix of Paper Moon and John Rambo in First Blood. You know, he's got getting moved along and nobody understands him and he just wants to go home. Big finish. Okay, so we're at the end of side one now. And still no music, because they're all on side two, the ones I picked. I wasn't going to inflict Bridge Over Troubled Water on you, because I thought, even though it is such an iconic and beautiful song, you've all heard it so many times that I would pick something different. And also, it's not my favourite song on the album. So I picked my favourite songs. So the end of side one. So Long, Frank Lloyd Wright. What a weird song this is. It's actually, the rhythm of it is a bossa nova. So long, Frank Lloyd Wright. It's like you can imagine somebody sweeping across the floor to it on Dancing with the Stars. It's about Frank Lloyd Wright, the architect, but I think it also has a double meaning, as most songs do, because I know Art Garfunkel went to university and studied to be an architect before he left, without qualifying, to join Paul Simon and be in a band. Again, you know, I've read things, you know, ages ago about how this was. Paul Simon had written it to say goodbye to Art Garfunkel. But I don't know. To me, this song, even though Art Garfunkel sings it very sweetly, it's a bit boring. It is a bit boring, and I don't... it's one that if it's on my iPod... because you can't really skip. That's the great thing about vinyl records. You had to listen to the whole album because you literally couldn't be asked getting up to move it on. But if I do listen to this on my iPod, I do tend to skip over this song because it's a bit like, bleh. There is one quite funny bit in it, though, that I've never actually heard on my iPod or on CD. I've only ever heard it when I listen to the record. You can hear near the end of the song somebody shout, "So long already, Artie!" That's so I don't know if it's been dumbed down for other releases, but yes. At last, side two. And our first song, hooray, she's going to shut up. Have a listen to The Sublime, The Boxer.
I am just a poor boy, though my story is seldom told. I have squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies and jest, still a man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. When I left my home and my family, I was no more than a boy in the company of strangers, in the quiet of the railway station, when I'm scared. Laying low, seeking out the poorer quarters where the ragged people go, looking for the places only they would know. Lie-la-lie, lie-la-lie-lie, lie-la-lie. Asking only wages, I come looking for a job, but I get no offers. Just to come home from the wars on 7th Avenue. I do declare there were times when I was so lonesome I took some comfort there. La 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 la. Then I'm laying out my winter clothes and wishing I was gone, going home, where the New York City winters are bleeding me. Going home.
boxer and a fighter by his trade, and he carries the reminders of every glove that laid him down or cut him till he cried out in his anger and his shame, I am leaving, I am leaving, but the fighter still remains.
Now, don't tell me you didn't like that song. That song is amazing. It's just a simple folk song that encompasses all life that could be applied to a boxer, a real boxer, or just anybody, really. It's got a killer chorus, hasn't it? And again, that crescendo. Starts very simply, gently, his lovely little sweet voice singing, and builds up and up and up past all the la-la-lays. Oh, I just love that song. It's just so, the harmonies and the melody are just so gorgeous. I never ever get bored of hearing it, and it's one of those songs, and there are so many of them, that I sing at the top of my voice whenever I hear it. Are you ready? I'm going to start now. No, I won't, don't worry. Dave would shout at me. This also has another little story attached to it with my dad. Okay, so you can fast forward now to when I'm not 11, I'm about 15, and it's a really, really hot day, and I'm lying in the garden, and I have a little tape recorder because I've taped some albums. So I'm lying in the garden drawing, because that's what I used to draw, and I'm listening to the boxer on my tape, and my dad is standing there looking at me. And he starts to sing along. My dad used to do this a lot. He would sing along to songs that I liked, but change the words. So it got to the bit where Paul Simon sings, "All eyes and jest, still a man hears what he wants to hear." And my dad sings, "Hey, this is a good song, teen," he said. "How does it go?" It's making me laugh. Think about it. "All eyes and chest. Oh, there's a woman down the road. She's all eyes and chest." Thanks, Dad. He didn't ruin it for me. Oh, my dad. I miss him so much. He used to make me laugh. So that's whenever I hear that, every time when it gets to that bit of the song, I think of my dad. And it makes me feel a little bit sad, but also makes me feel you know, quite happy that he's left me with that never-ending memory of some woman with massive boobs and huge eyes. Oh, dear. And again, the lyrics to this song, you know, can be construed in many different ways. And again, you know, the way he's worded it. One of the lines is, I do declare there were times I was so lonesome, I took some comfort there. Now, who says, I do declare? Well, it's Scarlett O'Hara. So, you know, again, you know, I don't think, I mean, I'm pretty sure Paul Simon's from New York. I could be wrong. As I said, you know, I haven't Googled anything before I've sat down to talk about this. But again, this sounds very, homegrown American. It's very American. There's nothing European about it at all. It's pure USA. Sort of in the way that Bruce Springsteen writes about America, about himself, about Americans. And it is, and it's not a bad thing, you know, he's like a folk singer, isn't he, really, in a way. Tells stories about real people, American people, American men, the way that I think this album tells American stories through the language that Paul Simon's used. I can't imagine anyone from Wrexham saying, I do declare there were times I was so lonesome, I took some comfort there. I know that it, you know, it's all to do with rhyming, but even still, just conjures up people sitting on porches, fanning themselves and drinking lemonade with Atticus Finch. And again, you know, The Boxer is just an epic song, quite like A Bridge Over Troubled Water. It's got kettle drums in it. It's got, well, actually, it's just got the full works towards the end. And again, you know, another song that builds up and up and up and up, but it doesn't explode at the end. Right at the very, very end, it quietens down and goes back to its original guitar. And it's almost like he makes you take a deep breath that life is shit. And look, there he goes, that lonely man. And it just ends. It's beautiful. Well done, Paul Simon. So then another sort of weird song that's a bit of a filler for me is Baby Driver. This is just pure, absolutely pure rock and roll, and completely meaningless as well. It's basically about shagging. You've just got to listen to it. I mean, it's a great jumpy, bouncy song. They call me Baby Driver. You've got to listen to this album. It's, you know, it's no point me talking about it without you listening to it, is there? It's very throwaway and bouncy. It's not boring. It's got a killer saxophone break in the middle of it that's really great. But I suppose you could liken it to a Kiss song or any cock rock song where they're going, hey, baby. Oh, Whitesnake would be perfect, wouldn't they? Come and sit on my big snake. Well, he wants to feel your engines. And I can remember as a kid, you know, that it was the one song that I would sing because it sort of repeats itself over and over. It's really easy to remember the lyrics. And I don't ever remember my mum or my dad saying, I think you should stop singing that now, Tina. It's a bit rude. Nobody wants to feel your engines. You're 12 years old. Yeah, it's kind of a weird song. So the next song on the album is The Only Living Boy in New York, but I'm going to talk about that in a minute. The song after Only Living Boy in New York is Why Don't You Write Me? This is another kind of weird song as well. Until it occurred to me just a couple of weeks ago, actually. Hang on a minute. This could be a man, and the lyrics back me up as well, because he's writing from the jungle and he's very lonely in the jungle. Could it be that Paul Simon's written this song sort of about a GI stuck in Vietnam, because the album came out in 1971. And I don't think the Vietnam War finished till 1975. So maybe this is, and this is sort of like a bossa nova song as well. It's a good song. It ticks all the boxes, but isn't a classic. Then a really weird song comes after Why Don't You Write Me? And this is a live version of Bye Bye Love. The Everly Brothers, Bye Bye Love, Bye Bye Happiness. Which is great, but it's so odd. And I don't know why they included that on the album. I'm not aware that albums that came out in the 70s had a live track, almost as if they had to prove that they could do it live. I mean, it's, you can hear the audience joining in and clapping, and it sounds a bit echoey, but it's kind of odd that, and it did again, made me think, oh, it's a bit of a filler. It's not a killer. Is it a killer? It's a killer. It's a filler. So, yeah. So the last song on the album is Song for the Asking. This is a very short and sweet song. And again, it's almost like Paul Simon had to do a little full stop on the end of it. Not a lot I can say about it, really. It's just him with a guitar singing about he could give you a song for the asking. It's a bit boring, really. It's nothing compared to my favourite Simon & Garfunkel song, which is the one that I skipped over, called The Only Living Boy in New York, which Dave is going to play for you now.
Your honesty shine, shine, shine now. No, no.
So, I can't tell you really why this is my favourite Simon and Garfunkel song. There's just something about it. To me, this is a love song to Art Garfunkel. And it hasn't even got a double meaning. He sings, it starts, "Tom, get your plane right on time." And Tom is Art Garfunkel, because when Simon and Garfunkel first started, they were called Tom and Jerry. And I don't know if he ever called him Tom as a nickname, but from what I remember, Art Garfunkel did fly to Mexico because he was just starting his film career. And he was appearing in that amazing film, Catch 22. You ever seen Catch 22? If you haven't, you need to buy it. And if you haven't read the book, you definitely need to read the book. It's amazing. So Art Garfunkel was flying out, leaving Paul Simon by himself to write songs for Bridge Over Troubled Water. So Simon must have sat down and wrote this song. And it's, again, you know, like, you can sort of talk about songs and say what they mean to you and tie yourself up in knots, find hidden meanings. But basically, it's, the harmonies are just so beautiful. And I can't sing. I can't sing. My son is blessed with the most beautiful voice. He is a great singer. Me, I like singing. I sing all the time to anything, because that's just, some people just sing, don't they? And I'm one of those people. This song, if wherever I am and I hear it, I have to sing along with it, because it just is so lovely. The sound it makes me feel happy. Even though it's a rather melancholy song about, well, it's a love song from Paul Simon to Art Garfunkel. And basically he's saying to Art Garfunkel, "You mean the world to me, and you're going to go off and be in a film, and I know that you're going to do really, really well, and you're going to shine, and I'm really pleased for you, and I'm really proud of you." And it just comes over. I know that I don't think they spoke to each other for years at one point, probably really genuinely hated each other, but that one song is a love song. One of the things that I really love about it, apart from it being such a sweet song, sweet sounding, and I think this is Art Garfunkel's part of Simon and Garfunkel, the timbre of his voice is sweet, and that appeals to me. There is one line in it where Simon sings, "Hey, I've got nothing to do today but smile." And that one line knocks me out every time I hear it. And again, you know, songs do make me feel very emotional. And I, as they probably do you as well. If you're a music fan, I think that you do associate good times and bad times with different songs, whether or not you were listening to that song at the time. One thing I always think about people that I really admire is that I think that they're singing that song just for me. And Paul Simon, even though he's singing about Art Garfunkel, he's singing "The Only Living Boy in New York" just for me. So thanks, Paul. And thank you to my mum for buying me a cracking first album. So I hope you enjoyed my exploration of Bridge Over Troubled Waters. Please, if you've never heard it, give it a go. You might like some of the songs that I'm a bit like, what the hell is he talking about here? You might hate it. You might love it. Who knows? There's only one way to find out, and that's by downloading it legally from iTunes, or even better, if you can find it on vinyl, that's the way to listen to it with all the little crackles. So, you can follow 60 Minutes With on Twitter at 60 Minutes With. You can find us on Facebook at 60 Minutes With. You can follow Dave at 60 Minutes With. That is Dave, actually. You can follow Sexy Chris. He's very sexy. Oh, I've gone all hot. At Dastard, I can't even speak now. All the spit's gone out of my mouth. That's the effect he has on me. Dastardly Jabby. At Dastardly Jabby. And you can follow me on Twitter at Spanky Spangler with two E's. But I wouldn't blame you if you didn't want to, because I just write a load of old shit. I think that's everything. So, farewell. And if you're lucky, Dave will put Bridge Over Troubled Water on, but I doubt it.